Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blissful Living. This is the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson, and I have a very interesting show for you today. I'm going to let you know the title of the show is The Technology of Joy. So that's going to pique your curiosity, and I'll tell you more about the guest in a few minutes. But let's cover some very important business and very important bases of information. First of all, I want to thank our sponsors of the show, the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company, and All Day Cable, Inc. They are today's show segment sponsors. And the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company, let me tell you a little bit about them. When we are in a state of being out of balance, not feeling healthy, not feeling energized, not feeling well, you know, that affects every aspect of our lives. However, when we manage to get ourselves back in balance with our mind, body, and spirit, then we become invincible in the world, particularly when our health and well-being is phenomenally balanced and operating on all cylinders. And the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company is a natural and holistic wellness company that specializes in helping you to feel invincible, to have that energy, to feel balanced, to be creative, to sleep well, to not have any digestive issues or stress problems, or even to help you successfully manage your weight, particularly if you can discover what your right body type is, and the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company can help you do all of that. So if this is piquing your curiosity, you want to learn a little bit more about how the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company can help you in a holistic and natural manner to go from feeling funky to fabulous, then I highly suggest that you check them out at www.healthhealingwellness.com. Again, that's www.healthhealingwellness.com. And with regards to our other sponsor, All Day Cable Incorporated, they are a telecommunications installation company located in the Silicon Valley with over 26 years of success in being in business. And although they work with large financial institutions and transportation entities as well as large corporations, if you are someone that is listening to this show and you have a need, whether it's small or large, with regards to having your technology and your telecommunications operate a little bit more effectively, a little bit more efficiently without any delays or problems, then I think you should check out alldaycableinc.com. Again, that's alldaycableinc.com. So I am very excited to get started with this show because we are bombarded by technology, and sometimes technology can really, really, really interfere with just how we live our life. But today's guest is going to share with us some wonderful information about how we can take the challenge of dealing with technology and staying balanced, healthy, and well, and being unstressed to a place of joy in learning to engage and embrace the technology that we have available to us. Let me tell you a little bit about today's guest. Now, today's guest is named Jonathan Robinson. Jonathan is a psychotherapist, best-selling author of 10 books, and a professional speaker from Northern California. He has reached more than 100 million people around the world with his practical methods, and his work has been translated into 47 languages. His work has appeared in Newsweek, USA Today, and the Los Angeles Times, as well as a dozen other publications. Now, in addition to this, Jonathan has made numerous appearances on The Oprah Show and CNN. So he is a woo, high, powerful, right out there in your face on some of the biggest networks in the world. I bring him here for you today, as well as other national TV talk shows. Now, he has spent more than 40 years studying the most practical and powerful methods for personal and professional development. And that's just a little teaser. Now, as a professional speaker, Jonathan has spoken to companies such as, check this out, Microsoft, IBM, Coca-Cola, Dell, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and hundreds of other successful businesses and organizations. He is known for providing his audience with immediate, useful, and powerful information presented in an entertaining and motivating manner. In his live lectures and his TV appearances, Jonathan often incorporates magical illusions into his talk to help people remember his powerful message. And with that being said, I would love to welcome you, Jonathan Robinson, to Blissful Living. Oh my gosh, you were a powerhouse. I didn't know I was going to be connecting and chatting with such a powerful dude. Wow. Yay. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Rochelle Marie. I appreciate it. I'm not that powerful. I just listen well and do what my higher power or intuition tells me to, and things have turned out good.
That's great, because you know our higher power and our intuition will never, ever lead us astray, and will never, ever lead us to make incorrect decisions for ourselves. So, and it's a great thing that you're a great listener, you know, being a male, you know, that's huge. Females tend to talk a lot. Males tend to listen a lot, and they filter out some of the stuff, as gals say, because we do ramble on like I'm doing right now. However, it's great to have you on the show. And I want to jump right in, because I know that the listeners are very curious about, you know, the technology of joy. What exactly does that mean? So what made you write a book about the technology of joy?
Well, I was doing a talk at Google and talking about some of these great new gadgets and tools and supplements that help people feel blissful or joyful or loving. And they all wanted to know where to get these things. So I decided to write a book as to where you can get these things and what they do for you. And a lot of people are not aware of them, which is actually good news, because once you become aware of them, it opens up a whole new area and way of feeling really good.
So how did you come across these methods that you talk about in the book?
Well, I was blessed with a very unhappy childhood. So by the time I was like 11 and 12, I was looking for any way to get out of feeling, you know, depressed. There was a lot of violence in my family.
Right.
And so I got into things like hypnosis and meditation at age 12, and then I read self-help, and then I was always looking for anything that would help me. And eventually, like a hobby, I just collected all these tools and gadgets, and eventually that got the attention of people like Oprah that put me on her show a bunch of times to demonstrate these things. And what's interesting, as with all technologies, these things are getting better and better every year. You know, nobody has a computer from 1980. But a lot of us are trying to find happiness the way people were trying to find happiness 1,000 years ago, you know, which is trying to manipulate all the people and situations in your life to be exactly the way you want.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes that works, but a lot of times it doesn't. So luckily there's some new ways, new gadgets, new supplements, new tools. Most people don't know about them that can lead to feelings of bliss and ecstasy, and my job, my mission, is to let people know about them.
Lovely. I mean, you know, me being the kind of person I am with regards to just, you know, knowing the fact that I need to take care of my mind, body, and spirit to be completely whole and healthy, and I share that message with, you know, everyone I come across. The fact that now I'm going to learn how to utilize some of these methods that you have written about in your book is going to really enhance my experience of being able to share my message in conjunction with, you know, utilizing your tools and your methods to help me. And so I want you to share with the listeners one of the methods you talk about in the book.
Mm-hmm. Should I choose anyone or
anyone you want to? Okay. Whatever your spirit or your intuition is telling you that we need to hear right now.
Okay. Well, you know, I like methods that take less than 30 seconds of effort that can help you feel really good for hours, because I'm lazy. And there's these whole category of what are called nootropics or cognitive enhancers, which are supplements you can buy sometimes at health food stores or sometimes online that increase your focus and your mood simultaneously. And, you know, like coffee can do that at first, but coffee taxes your body a little bit, and the more you drink it, the less effect it has because you build up tolerance. But there's great little supplements you take. It takes 15 seconds to put them in your mouth. It costs about anywhere from 20 cents to $2 a day. And they can affect you for hours, and I just get a lot more done when I'm feeling good versus when I'm feeling distracted. And that would be a whole category. One of my favorites is something called sulbutiamine, which is a vitamin B1 that crosses the blood-brain barrier. So it kind of wakes up your brain, and it really makes you feel joyous. And everybody says it's also really good for you because it's basically vitamin B1. So that's an example of things that are in the book and things that I take every day in order to feel really good.
So let me ask you, if someone's listening out there and they just, you know, you said the sulbutiamine, that's, you know, like, what? What the heck is that? That's way above my head. But however, vitamin B1, if someone out there listening is saying, okay, well, I'll just go get vitamin B1, is that going to have the same effect as the sulbutiamine?
No, it won't, because vitamin B1 does not cross the blood-brain barrier normally. Now, vitamin B1 can be healthy for your body, but it doesn't really impact your mood or level of focus. So that's why these things that are new tend to be much more effective. You know, most people don't even have a smartphone from 5 years ago, but they're taking supplements from 100 years ago.
Right.
And it's hard to understand that things are changing so quickly now in the field of gadgets take something like neurofeedback, which is a way of using your brain's EEG signals to give you feedback as to whether you're moving towards peace or towards anxiety. Well, five years ago, they cost $10,000 and they didn't work very well. Now they cost $200 and they work great. So things are changing very quickly, and it can be confusing because you don't necessarily know what really works and what doesn't or where to get them.
Exactly.
I wrote the book so that people could easily know the 100 best things out there.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of stuff. I've been I'm also a registered nurse, and I've been in doing that for 26 years. So I've seen a lot of transition with regards to how closed-minded the medical community was with regards to integrative and alternative forms of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, the things like, you know, to do an EEG a few years ago would have been $10,000, and now you can, you know, get biofeedback in that capacity for about $200. So it's interesting that people still get stuck on the same things that were being done thousands and thousands of years ago, even though sometimes they don't really work, versus embracing the new things, such as what you describe in your book, that doesn't take very long, has, you know, healthful benefits to your mind and your body, but it's the newest form of, quote-unquote, how we should take care of ourselves or how we can take care of ourselves. That always is amazing to me, when, you know, people are apprehensive. And so it's great that you've written a book like this to share the information that you've picked up from all these years. Now, have you always been a joyous type of person? I mean, you gave us a little bit of background with regards to your, you know, your childhood, but once you got out of that situation, were you always joyous? Did you have periods where you were maybe angry or depressed? Can you share that with the listeners?
Depression definitely runs in my family.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it practically gallops in my family. My sister and brother have both been in mental hospitals due to depression. When I was a teenager, I struggled with depression, but since I was doing things like meditation and hypnosis and using these various supplements and tools, I haven't really had to struggle with it throughout my life after being a teenager. And that shows me the effect of some of these things, because my brother and sister, who, you know, more or less have the same genes, have been incapacitated by it. So I don't have a good genetic predisposition, but I that's why I got really focused on these tools, is because I knew I needed all the help I could get.
Right. Yeah. That's, you know, and fortunately, is it just the three of you, or are there more kids?
No, just the three.
Okay.
Of
so 1/3 of you decided at probably a very young age that that's not the direction you wanted to go. And sometimes when you're a kid, you don't even realize you're making these decisions about your future, but that's just the way it is. Because you often see, like you said, two of the kids are suffering from depression. You all grew up in the same household, experienced the same things, raised the same way, you know, and there's happens in a lot of families where, you know, there's a couple kids and you're like, what happened to them? Because we're fine or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So it's very interesting that, you know, you've been able to overcome those challenges and live a more joyous life, as I like to say, as you travel down your path to bliss. Now, do you use these methods that you describe in your book every day with regards to, you already shared that you do take the supplements, but the other methods that you describe in the book, do you do them every day? Are there certain few? Do you have a system that you utilize?
Because I have tried a bunch of methods. I know which ones work best for me. So let's say there's a dozen of those that work best for me. I probably use 5 or 6 of them every day, and it doesn't. A lot of them only take 20 seconds, so it's not a big length of time. But, you know, an orgasm can take 20 seconds, but, you know, it can
and you
make
feel really
day.
Good after that.
Yeah, yeah. So, one of my favorite methods costs $1. It leads to an amount of physical pleasure that's similar to an orgasm. So, you know, there's a lot of really good things out there. And that's why, you know, a lot of people, my friends, call me Dr. Feel Good, because I know a lot of ways to feel good. And the world is giving us lots of ways to feel bad, so you want to balance it out whenever possible.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I always say that, you know, you turn on anything, or just really just anywhere, there's always so much, especially it seems like more. I don't know, since I've grown up, you know, I've been around for quite a long time, but it just seems like it's more prevalent, and it could be because we're exposed to it more through, you know, media and technology and that kind of stuff. But, wow, I thought, you know, if someone comes up with an ideal of just shifting all of that and focusing on the positive, how much better would the world be? You know, that would catch on just as much as all the negative stuff. But, oh, well, you know, I guess it is what it is and how it's supposed to be. That's why there's people like you and I that try, you know, to do the opposite and make things better for people and show them how they can do that.
Yeah, what technology has done for us so far is created what I call WMDs, which are widgets of mass distraction.
Mm-hmm.
So the average person is looking at their smartphone 140 times a day, and there's Facebook and email and all those things. But only in the last 3 or 4 years has there been developed technologies that are what I call a new type of WMD, wonders of mass delight, that can help people to feel specific states of bliss or joy or love or gratitude. And we need help doing that, because we live in a culture or cult that focuses on the negative. And if you don't have specific technologies for getting into these higher states of consciousness, then you're going to be inundated with all the muck.
Does your technologies that you use, are they able to, I said, your technologies, the methods that you use to, like, enhance joy and live in a state of joy, are those methods, or are there ways to utilize those methods, say, if you are suddenly engaged in the opposite of joy, like you're angry or whatever, and you realize that and, you know, think of your technology, is there a technology that you could suggest or you utilize to change you from that negative state back to the state of joy, and that can happen fairly quickly?
Yeah, I probably mentioned maybe 10 in the book that can be done in under a minute. Some of them aren't even gadgets. They're actually psychological methods. Like, for example, just to give you a really quick example, the question, what could potentially be good about this, is a way to make something that's bad feel better. Now, you and I actually had an experience where I was trying to get on one of your shows, and I got the wrong number, so I missed the show. And, you know, that's a problem. That didn't feel good. But I asked myself, what could potentially be good about this? And, you know, because we had a little bit of a hiccup in our doing the interview, we got to, you know, talk about it. And now I feel closer to you than if we had just done a straight interview. And luckily I asked that question, what could potentially be good about this? Well, one of the things is that Rochelle and I are going to have to work this out, and we'll get to know each other a little bit. So that's a technology, you could call it. It's a very simple thing. It's a question, and it can be done in under 20 seconds. Or tapping into good feelings, such as gratitude, can often be done in a very short period of time. Just to give an example, I heard of an Indian guru who supposedly had this magical mantra for helping people feel overwhelming gratitude. Well, I always wanted the best technology, so I went all the way to India to get what this mantra was. And I don't know if you've ever been to India. Have you ever been to India?
No, not yet.
It's a hard place to travel to. It's 18,000 miles, and it's, you know, a lot of pollution. And
yeah.
You get there, and you take a rickshaw for 3 hours to ashram, and then I was jet-lagged and worn out. But I finally got to talk to this guru. I said, I want to know your technology, your mantra, for helping people feel overwhelming gratitude. And he said in his Indian accent, ah, yes, my mantra is the most powerful mantra on earth. And he leans in to whisper it into my ear, and I'm very excited. And he says, whenever possible, repeat the following words. The mantra I give you are the words, thank you. I said, that's it? I traveled 18,000 miles to get the word thank you? That's it? Are you kidding me?
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
and he said, no, that's it is the mantra you have been using. That makes you feel like you never have enough. My mantra is thank you, not that's it. That's it will take you nowhere.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I love it. I love it.
In that situation, I looked at him, and I was pissed off and angry and disappointed. I said, well, I'm thank you. And then he looked at me, and he said, no, thank you is not the mantra. He said, the mantra is to say it from your heart, thank you. So when you eat good food, say thank you from your heart. When you see a sunset or your pet, say thank you from your heart. Many times a day, and soon you will feel overwhelming gratitude. Well, to make a long story short, I tried his method because I had nothing better to do, and I had a long trip back. And, you know, I get into the taxi, and the taxi has air conditioning. I say, thank you for the air conditioning, because, you know, it was like 103 degrees in India. And then I get to my hotel, and my hotel had a bottle of clean water, which is nice. You know, thank you for that. And then I sit on the, I use the bathroom, you know, it has a Western toilet. Thank you for that. And then I call my wife on Skype. I'm talking to somebody on the other side of the planet for free. I say, thank you for that. And within about half an hour, I had tears of gratitude going down my face because using this 5-second method of feeling my thanks from my heart and saying it actually did work to feel overwhelming gratitude. So little techniques like this can, although they sound stupid, when he said it, I sure thought that sounded stupid, but it can really work.
Wow. You know, thank you for sharing that, because that's going to, I know, not only help me tremendously, but to help everybody listening to the show as well. Something as simple as that, and then, you know, I wrote it down, say thank you from your heart. versus just saying thank you. Anybody can say thank you and just do it with attitude. I could say thank you and do it with attitude really well.
Right.
However, when you say thank you and it's a sincere appreciation and comes from your heart, you can. When people say that to you, you can feel it. And when you say it to others, they can feel it. And, you know, as we say, God, you know, you, once you appreciate the things, the little small things that we get so often we take for granted, it just opens up a beautiful new experience. So thank you so much for sharing that. I love that story because that would be so me. Now, why do you think Americans, and this has plagued me because I've seen the pharmaceutical usage or pharmaceutical dole out, as I like to say, from the Western medicine practitioners with regards to this, what I'm getting ready to ask you about. But why do you think so many Americans are on antidepressants?
Well, you know, life is stressful, and most people don't have really good methods to counter that stress. Imagine if you could never go to the toilet. After a few days, you would feel pretty bad. You know, if you're not eliminating your stress, then it piles up, and that, of course, doesn't feel good. So people need really simple methods. And a lot of people's methods for dealing with stress are not that effective for them, or they take too long. Like, you know, working out is good, and that's a stress reliever, but it takes an hour to work out or do a yoga class or something. So I'm more interested in technologies or methods that can generally be done in under 2 minutes that are still very effective. And that way you can do them 4 or 5 times a day in 10 minutes, and you don't accumulate stress, because accumulated stress turns into anxiety and depression.
Right. Becomes very toxic. Do you think, and you know, just we're all just able to freely express our opinions, but do you think that the physicians today are doling out way more antidepressants than, say, when we were growing up?
Yeah, because they're easy, and they get paid by pharmaceutical companies to do that. You know, that's a $20 billion a year industry, and they spend $10 billion advertising to physicians and to us. Studies show that 93% of people taking antidepressants have no effect from the antidepressants above placebo. So basically, they're taking a pill that's not doing anything for them other than a placebo. So that's unfortunate, because there are really good things people can do. I have a free website actually geared towards this, which is all about that, called From Sad to Glad. The 2 is the number 2, fromsadtoglad.com, and people can learn about all the different things you can do that have been proven to be more effective than antidepressants. Unfortunately, they don't have a advertising budget the way antidepressants do, so most people don't know about them.
Yeah, and you're right. Society is bombarded with the utilization of pharmaceuticals for everything.
Yeah.
Go to the doctor, get a pill, it's going to fix it. And what I like to share is, like, that doesn't fix anything. It just takes care of the signs and symptoms, and sometimes it doesn't even do that. I've come across people in my practice that are on 5 high blood pressure medications.
Yeah.
You mean you're on 5 of them and you still have a blood pressure of 170 over 102? There's something wrong here. So thank you for sharing your opinion, because I totally agree with you on that. And we'll move on. Now, what is one of your favorite ways, because I know you said you use about maybe 12 of the technologies that you have or methods you have in the book, but what is your favorite way to tap into your inner joy?
Well, I do meditate every day, but I find that there's certain CDs that you can get, or musical things that actually balance your brain waves and can help you to tap into feelings of peace and joy. And they don't cost much. They cost anywhere from $5 to $20. And once you have them for life. So, you know, they lead to alpha or theta brainwave states, And they work pretty well. They've gotten a lot better over the years. I looked at them 20 years ago, and I wasn't very impressed. But in the last 20 years, this technology has really improved. And I mentioned a bunch of them in the Technology of Joy book that are specific ones I listen to and do certain things for me.
I utilize those, too. I got them, I don't know, maybe I got a set maybe 10, 12 years, probably longer than that. And it, you know, I just would listen to it while I was cleaning the house or working on a project or whatever the case may be. And it just kind of relaxed my, it just sometimes just put me in a really good zone. And then I got some, fast forward to a little bit more recently, obtained some of those CDs. And again, I like listening to the music. I've always liked listening to music when I study, particularly like jazz. Even when I was a kid, jazz, I would listen to jazz and do my homework. And so, you know, as subtle as it is, just because it seems like you're really just listening to the music, the vibrations and how it affects your brain with regards to getting it in those alpha and theta states is so subtle but so very powerful. And so, again, thank you for sharing that, because I'm going to do it even more now. I don't do it all the time, but I'm going to do it even more in listening to my CDs, because I do. You just refresh in my brain. I really do feel good when I'm listening to them, whether I'm trying to fall asleep or, you know, really want to elevate my energy or really be creative and focused and all of those things. I'm able to tap into that part, those parts of the brain, my brain waves, and it allows me to do what I need to do. So thank you. Now, can any of the tools you talk about help people to have better relationships? Because there seems to be a lot of issues.
There are a lot of really good apps. In fact, you know, for these brain-altering music things, there's a lot of good apps such as Headspace and Buddhify too. You know, for $2, you can listen to a lot of these things on your smartphone, so it's very convenient. But in terms of relationships, I mentioned half a dozen apps that are meant to deepen your relationships or help with acts of kindness, which is a big happiness booster. So, you know, we all are focused on productivity, and we have a lot of productivity apps. But really what we want are loving relationships, peace of mind. So when you can find an app such as the app Couple or Between, and there's some really good other apps that help to deepen relationships with your partner. There's ones that help you to overcome fights that I put in the book. I like apps because they are very convenient, and when you find a good one, it's really like having a friend for life.
Yeah, like your therapist you can go to and no one knows you're going there and you're getting some wonderful benefits. I love it. You know, you seem to talk about a lot of stuff with regards to the methods and technologies that you describe in the book that are not only can be utilized in a quick manner, 30 seconds to 2 minutes or whatever, but you also seem to mention that they're not very expensive things. You mentioned some apps that cost $2. You mentioned, you know, the sulbutamine that was relatively inexpensive to take when you put it out, you know, per day or when you have to purchase some. Mm-hmm. So I like that. I mean, it seems like you can really move from a state of wherever you are to a more positive and more loving state of joy just by utilizing things that don't cost very much but are extremely beneficial to you.
Yeah, because, you know, one part of a good technique is, does it work quickly? Is it inexpensive? Is it free of negative side effects? Does it immediately feel good? You know, these are all important things. The average person watches 4.5 hours of TV a day, which I think is unfortunate, and I watch none, which means that some guy in Iowa has to watch 9 hours for me. You know, so, you know, but TV, people watch TV because it is basically close to free, and it's very easy. All you have to do is move your thumb a quarter an inch, and you get 300 channels. So I'm always looking for techniques that are easy and free and powerful, and there's not many out there like that. I wrote about 101 in the Technology of Joy book. But, you know, once you get past that, there's a lot of crap out there, too. And one of the reasons why I wrote the book was so that people could save themselves lots of time and money and just find ones that have been reviewed and look good and hopefully don't cost much.
Great. And thank you. Because, again, you can literally tap into your joy or tap into a state of joy. Doesn't have to take very long, much time, nor does it have to cost a lot of money. Why not take the time to do that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times the way we have been told to feel joy costs a lot of money and takes a lot of time, like going to Disneyland. You know, that's a lot of money to get there.
Oh,
a lot of money
goodness.
To get in, a lot of time to wait for the two-minute ride. What if you could just, you know, put on a little gadget on your head, a neurostimulator, and you tap into feelings of ecstasy right away? That's certainly more efficient, and I like efficiency because people are also busy nowadays that unless they have something that can be done efficiently, they probably won't do it.
You're right, and they need to have almost immediate results, or else they won't do it. It needs to be something that doesn't take a long time to do, and they get immediate results, or else they won't do it.
Yeah.
I
figured they're like me, so that's why I do that.
Well, you sound like me. I mean, I'm like, oh my gosh, he sounds like my twin from another mother. It's so funny. Very cool. You had an interview with the Dalai Lama, and wow, that just saying that you had an interview. So I'm talking to someone that interviewed the Dalai Lama just brought a really, you know, happy feeling to my body. Did you talk about the technologies that you share in your book with the Dalai Lama?
Yeah, I asked him a question about what he thought about these gadgets and things, and I'll quote you what he said. He said, if it were possible to become free of negative emotions by using a gadget or a drug without impairing the critical mind, I would be the first patient.
Oh.
That's a pretty powerful quote. You know, he's not dogmatic. He's saying, well, how can we overcome human suffering? How can we get people to experience peace? And he does recognize that science is providing new and better ways of doing this, and he's actually in favor of it.
That's great. Wow. That did he share any other words of wisdom with regards to?
Well, I asked him what his favorite technique was, his favorite technology, and he said, my favorite technique is acts of kindness. He says, when I do acts of kindness, I feel good and the other person feels good. And he said, there's no better technology than that. So that was an interesting answer. And he actually used the term, we need to study the engineering of enlightenment. And I agree that, you know, we've studied how to kill people, and we've gotten really good at it. We've studied how to establish, you know, various ways of making money. But we haven't really established a technology of joy or enlightenment, and that really needs to be the next step for humanity. You know, I actually had, this reminds me of a story. When I was 12, I had the unusual experience of being in a class, a computer class, no less, with a guy named Steve, who at the time was just kind of a jerk and older than me, but he ended up being a guy named Steve Jobs. Okay? So, now, I didn't, you know, he's just kind of a jerk in the class, and we had this computer the school had bought. We both went to school in Cupertino, Homestead High.
Okay, and you're from where I graduated from, Mountain View High School. So.
Oh, great, yeah, okay, so same area.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the school, this is 1972, and the school just bought this, like, 500-pound refrigerator-sized computer that could basically play tic-tac-toe and a couple other games.
Mm-hmm.
But he and I were always vying for the computer, and one day I said, hey, look, Steve, why are you so obsessed with this machine? And he said, don't you see this machine is going to change everything? It's going to completely change the world. Well, actually, it was hard to see that this 500-pound refrigerator that played tic-tac-toe was going to change the world. But it ends up Steve was right because he saw that things get better very quickly. And I believe that these various technologies I have in the book are slowly going to enter into our lives and change how we pursue human happiness and even spirituality. And, you know, as science fiction writer William Gibson said, the future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed. So these things already exist. It's just most people don't know about them. And when they do find out and they find one, two, three, four, or a dozen things that really work for them, then their world is really rocked because most of us only know three or four ways of feeling good. What if you have a dozen? Then you have a better shot of feeling good each day.
Right. Wow, more tools to utilize in your day instead of that one or two that you have in your repertoire. Just change it up a little bit. So, wow. You know, with regards to the different generations from, I'm not sure, the baby boomers, I'm not sure who comes after the baby boomers, the X or the Y, or and then you have the millennials. Do you find that when you discuss or you're speaking to a group of individuals that may be more within the millennial category, are they more receptive to the information that you're sharing with regards to utilizing this technology for joy?
Yeah, definitely. And they're very interested in it. Since you're from the Bay Area, I don't know if you're familiar with the Consciousness Hackers group.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a group of, you know, Bay Area people that get together, a couple hundred people, and they're trying to hack happiness. You know, and they're good at it. I spoke with them recently, and they had a really good response. But one thing I noticed is that the average age in that room was 25.
Mm-hmm.
So the younger generation is definitely more open to these ideas and utilizing these ideas, and which means that the future is really looking bright that way.
You know, it's interesting. The reason why I ask you that is because I have a millennial. She's 22, getting ready to graduate from college next month. And, you know, she's very, like, enlightened and positive. But not only her. I mean, I think she says she just got this stuff from me, watching me as she was growing up. But I tell her, you're so way more advanced than I was at 22. You know, I'm like, you're, like, 20 years ahead of me. Some of the stuff you're sharing with me, I didn't get until I was in my 40s. But
yeah,
it's just not her. When I talk to all of her friends, whether male or females, it's like these kids are just, they just blow me away because it's so different than how when I was their age, how we thought or behaved or act or, you know, we weren't clued in like these kids are. And so I wanted to ask you that to see if you noticed it or if it was just like, I'm just crazy, you know, I'm just tuned into the kids. But it seems to be that the millennials are embracing the enlightenment and awakening and wanting to do more positive stuff and be fair and balanced and have more joy than I could have ever imagined.
Well, everything's accelerating and changing. So I see millennials that are doing that and trying to find the best that, you know, technology or spiritual wisdom has to offer. And then there's people who aren't doing that. They're just trying to make money, and usually they're stressed out and hating their life. So, it's a big difference. But the ones who are embracing the changes generally are much more advanced than you and I were at that same age.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's beautiful to see. What do you think the link is between, since we're like engaged in a little bit of the spirituality with this, what do you think the link is between joy, spirituality, and technology?
Well, in the past, there has not been much, you know.
You're right.
And so I think it's good that people are even asking the question and not laughing because, you know, you go back 1,000 years and you ask the question, what's the link between joy, technology, and spirituality? They would say, I don't even understand the question. So obviously, spirituality, we pursue it partly to feel more joyous and more loving. And so there's a big link. And then the question is, can you engineer enlightenment? Can you give people either pills or drugs or supplements or tools or gadgets that help them? And I believe that there are things out there that act like training wheels, meaning they can introduce you to higher states of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And then once you're introduced to them, it makes it easier to find your way back to there again without the gadget or without the pill. So I think there is a link, and that link is going to get even stronger over time. And in 20 years from now, most people will pursue spirituality or finding happiness mostly through a technological means.
Very nice. Thank you. Again, you listeners out there, I hope you're just you're either recording this show, you're going to come back and listen to the show to take more specific notes, you're taking copious notes, and just really embracing the information that Jonathan Robinson is sharing with us, because, you know, this information that he's sharing, these little simple things that he's discussing with me and sharing with all of you, little simple things that can change your life to a much, much better state, is priceless. It's absolutely priceless. So I hope that you have been taking a lot of notes and really embracing the information, because I guarantee when you finish listening to this show and you start utilizing just maybe one or two things, pick one or two things that he talked about, watch how your life transforms, and you'll definitely want to get his book. And we're going to tell you how and where you can get the book in just a few moments. But I want to ask Jonathan a couple of more questions. Question number one is, can any of the gadgets in your book help people to meditate? I think what I really want to say is, can any of the gadgets in your book help people to understand how to meditate and how it can work for them? Because I think people get caught up in specific rules and regulations on how to meditate. I'm a certified meditation specialist, but I tell people just start and just take some time. So can you share your words of wisdom with regards to what you share a little bit in the book about this?
Yeah, well, you know, when people start out meditating, a lot of people find it hard because our minds are kind of out of control and they never shut up. So and if you go into a wall hard, that doesn't feel good. So there's a lot of gadgets or even apps such as guided meditations that are very good at inducing very peaceful meditative states, and they tend to be easier than when people try to use just a meditation technique on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So as I said, it's kind of the training wheel effect. Yeah, you can get an app like Happify or Buddhify 2 or Headspace that give lots of guided meditations. You can get gadgets like the Muse or the Think or the iWake technologies for sounds that help to induce meditative states. And once you kind of know what you're looking for, you have an easier time than meditating, is my belief. Or you just listen to the CDs or you do the guided meditations and you get into a meditative state with much less effort than if you just try to follow your breath.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great benefit to these technologies, that they can, the first 5 years I meditated was hell, you know, because my mind was out of control. But eventually I made progress, but I find that some of these technologies can get you into really joyful and peaceful states of mind much more easily and quickly than if you just try to go to a retreat.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. When I first started meditating, I was pretty young too. I guess I was maybe 16, 17. My mind was going 90,000 miles a minute, and then I'd fall asleep. It was like I was either on and then I just clicked completely off, you know. But I kept and I didn't do anything formal or, you know, I don't know even where I got the idea to meditate other than I was suffering from a medical condition that was not diagnosed, and I just wanted to feel better. And I had a lot of what we call in Ayurveda, pitta, a lot of fire. I'm a pitta anyways, but it was just out of control at times. And I really wanted to just not try to keep the volcano under wraps, so to speak. And so I just started doing, you know, sitting and being quiet and, you know, focusing on my breath or listening to sounds of nature. And like I said, I was even going 90,000 miles a minute, and then I just like shut, like the brakes were slamming and then I was asleep. But each time I felt better, and each time I did it, the less chatter I had in my mind and the less I fell asleep until I was not falling asleep at all, but getting into a very deep state. Sometimes it's deeper than others, still, you know, very beneficial to me to take that time to meditate every day. And thank you for sharing that with us as well. Now, the last question I want to ask you, and I've really enjoyed our conversation. You've been phenomenal. And so thank you, thank you, thank you. God knew what he was doing when he had us have that hiccup yesterday and tuned us in for a better day today. I don't know about up there where you are, but down here it was storming, like buckets of rain was just falling. Did you guys get any snow or a lot of rain up there?
We got a lot of rain yesterday, which is always nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love the rain. But so anyways, the question I want to ask is, of the 101 methods you write about in the book, how do you suggest people pick the one or two that will, or three or four or 12 that will work best for them?
Well, first, by reading the book, you get a sense of each method. And I even describe what they actually do for you in terms of the five ingredients of happiness. Does it increase your pleasure? Does it increase your relationships? Does it increase your sense of meaning or accomplishment? You know, what exactly is it doing? So that's one way, just by getting a sense of, oh, yeah, that sounds good. And I also describe, you know, how much they cost and where to get them. So, you know, sometimes that's a big factor. But another thing is to ask yourself, what are you looking for? If you could, what are you wanting, really? Are you wanting more gratitude? Are you wanting deeper relationships? Are you wanting more pleasure? And you can, once you know what you're looking for, the book will say, oh, this increases pleasure, this increases gratitude. And that way you know what you're looking for. And then, of course, trying it out, because until you try it out, you don't know for sure if it really worked for you. So I encourage people to put a little bit of time, a little bit, you know, the book's $13, a little bit of money, and invest in their joy. You know, we invest in lots of things, our body, we invest in relationships, we invest in education for work, but we don't necessarily invest in our future joy. And I think that's a investment that pays off really well.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you so much. You guys out there listening, now here comes the good part. Jonathan, share with the listeners out there where and how they could pick up the book.
Well, of course, they can get the Technology of Joy book at Amazon. But if they go to my website, which is findinghappiness.com, it's findinghappiness.com, they can get the book at a little bit of a discount. And there's also a lot of free stuff I offer on that website about finding happiness, and they can download all that stuff for free. So that's probably the easiest way of doing it.
Now, are you going to be speaking anywhere locally or anywhere that you can share with the listeners, and maybe quite possibly they can, you know, come see you live?
Well, I'll be speaking at the Ecstatic Festival in June. Mostly I'm speaking in Australia, New Zealand, and Canada in the next couple months, but I will be in Northern California at the Ecstatic Festival in June.
Okay. So there you have it, everyone, the wonderful, phenomenal, and just absolutely joyous Jonathan Robinson. Please go out and pick up his book, The Technology of Joy. the 100 best apps, gadgets, tools, and supplements for feeling more delight in your life, feeling more joy as you travel down your path to bliss. And before we go, I just want to, again, thank you, Jonathan, for being a guest on the show. I want to thank our sponsors for sponsoring this segment of the show, the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company, as well as AllDayCableInc.com. And lastly, what I like to do on the show is we have this segment called Recommended Reading. And so, of course, I'm going to first of all recommend that you pick up The Technology of Joy by Jonathan Robinson so that you can, you know, learn how to just feel more joy in your life, how to change things from, you know, a not-so-blissful, joyous state to a state. But the other book that I want to recommend is from a young lady named Courtney Adamson, and it is Teachings from God. She is one of the people on our recommended reading list on blissful-living.net, so go ahead, check that out as well. All righty. Well, it's been fabulous talking to Jonathan. It's great to have all of you as listeners. Please share this segment with everyone you love and care about and those that you don't like as well. I'm sure that you may be able to change them from a not likable state to a more likable state by sharing this segment of Technology of Joy with Jonathan Robinson and me, the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson. Until next week, everyone, may you go out and get this book, The Technology of Joy. May you incorporate some of the tools and methods in there to help you have a more joyous life as you travel down your path to bliss. As always, I'm wishing you peace to your mind, wellness to your body, and tranquility to your spirit. Until next time, may you have a fabulous and joyful, blissful day. Take good care for now, and goodbye.